Spirit River by train from Edmonton. On February 19, 1926, having come from the prairies in southwestern North Dakota with two small children, a five-day trip by rail. My son was 5 years old and daughter 2 years old. They were very tired of the long journey. My first impressions of surroundings from looking out the train window were not happy ones. Seeing long stretches of windfalls and small spruce and pine, such a change from the rolling hills of the prairie. It was a slow and rough trip on the rail from Edmonton at that time. Spirit River seemed a lonely little town, too. My husband met us there, and we were taken to a little place to eat, after which he had arranged to have a Model T car driven by liveryman Dan Bader to take us over the Spirit River Trail to our destination, which was Ed Mass Farm near what is now Doe River. I found the Spirit River Trail, as it was then known, was muskeg and could only be traveled when frozen. We started out bravely and crossed some narrow little bridges spanning what seemed to me terribly steep canyons. We soon had two flat tires and limped into a stopping place, got a team and sled, and traveled on to another stopping place known as Kaling's Place, where a dear lady made us comfortable for the remainder of the night. Next morning, we had breakfast, and we resumed our journey with Mickey Schubert, who met us there with a team and sleigh. By mid-afternoon, we stopped at a place known as Braden's Crossing, where elderly Mrs. Braden, mother of Lyle Braden, gave us lunch, and I had my first taste of moose meat. How I enjoyed a visit with Mrs. Braden. After this, we traveled on to Ed Mass Farm. We arrived late at night with two very tired children. There were some bachelor neighbors there to welcome us. My husband was no stranger to them, as he had arrived the previous fall and had worked for Ed at the farm. There were the two Pollard brothers, Wes and Jim, Ray Gross, Ed Roth, Harry Dunham, Mike Harris, Pat Dwyer, and others in that neighborhood, but very few women. The mail came to this place on Tuesdays and Fridays with whoever would bring it from Rolla, and on mail nights we always had lots of good company. The mail was kept in a large box, and those who came for it sorted out their own mail. There were only about six women north of Rolla, and I didn't meet them all for a few weeks. Mrs. James Dunham was the first woman I met, and a wonderful neighbor she was. One lady was Mrs. Green, a Negro whom we all liked so very much. She at one time cooked in the Old Post Hospital and helped people in any way she could, even as a midwife. Rolla, at this time, was a very, very busy little town, and one could obtain nearly anything you needed, as there were three stores, two hotels, two livery barns, and quite a few dwelling houses. Ed Mast had a stopping place at Rolla Landing on the Peace River, where the D.A. Thomas boat, which traveled the river then, would stop to take on wood and leave freight. It was a thrill to see the boat arrive at night with lights going, which happened one time while we were there on a berry-picking trip. The trip down the steep, narrow, winding hill was another thrill. Very steep places needed a rough lock on the wagon, and the horses seemed to know just what to do and held back in the harness. We picked raspberries, and I canned them there. They made wonderful jam and fruit. In 1927, my husband filed on a homestead 1/2 mile west of Old Doe River Store, which was not there then. The Doe River Recreation Grounds are now located on what was our homestead. My husband worked at Ollinger Sawmill for lumber to build a house for us, and we moved there in 1928. My husband made a plane to plane logs for building the barn. It was modeled after an ordinary wood plane, only made with heavy planks using a broad axe for a blade, pulled along the logs by a team of horses and guided by handles like a walking plow. We planed logs for the barn while I drove the horses. My husband also broke land with horses and walking plow. Our homestead experiences were many and varied, which made life interesting for us. I used to ride to Rolla 9 miles on horseback before there was a store at Doe River. I could carry a pack of groceries behind the saddle. In winter, I drove horse and toboggan. The children trained a young steer to harness and to pull a toboggan, and he was very useful. When Doe River's store first opened, I drove him there for flour and groceries, and he trotted along like a pony. My son made a rack and used the steer to haul straw to the barn. We milked cows, and I made butter and cheese. I made cheese, which won first prize at an early Rolla Fair. I also baked bread for bachelors and sold butter to them. I made shirts for some of them, besides making shirts for my husband and son. I also made shoes or slippers for our youngest girl, born in 1930, from the leather lining of an overcoat. They were quite durable, too. Of course, we women made dresses and clothing from flour bags, which we could get then for 10 cents each. And when bleached, made up, and dyed, they were quite nice. Sometimes we trimmed flour sack dresses with gingham or print for contrast. We also made our own soap from fat rendered from pork. We cooked for thrashers for our bachelor neighbors, which brought in a few welcome dollars. In the 30s, we never bought fruit, but depended on berries we found quite plentiful in those days, such as raspberries, saskatoons, cranberries, and wild strawberries, and we were very careful how we used sugar, too. One winter, I taught my children correspondence lessons when school was closed for lack of pupils. There was a one-room school when we first came to the neighborhood at what is now Doe River. In the early days, the late Mrs. John Albright, mother of Russell Albright, had started Sunday school in this school, and a United minister from Rolla came every 2 weeks and held services. I helped with the Sunday school, and we had good attendance and enjoyed our Sunday school. Mrs. Albright, being musical, played the organ. The Christmas concerts held in this old school were an event always looked forward to. Also, there were dances and amateur programs held there in which many people took part. We often put on plays for entertainment, and our practices were always full of fun. About the time we bought Ed Mass Farm, my husband traded homesteads with Jack Hingley. My son now owns that farm and that place and farms it. In 1934, we bought the farm formerly owned by Ed Mast and moved there from the homestead. We lived there 18 years. In the 30s, many people hauling produce from Cherry Point and Clayhurst districts with horses would stop with us as there was always room in the big barn for their teams and a cup of tea and a meal for their drivers. This old barn has now been torn down as it was about to tumble, having been built in 1918. Many people say they miss it as an old landmark. Soon, trucks replaced the hauling with horses, and people didn't stop with us. During the time we lived on this farm, I was called upon to deliver a baby in our home. Needless to say, I was very frightened, but everything was okay. This all happened one Christmas day some years ago. That baby was Marlene Naughton, who is now Mrs. Morris Pearson. We sold the farm in 1952, and my husband operated a small sawmill 12.5 miles west of Doe River for about 2 years. I cooked for the men there. The lumber was partly sawed from fire-killed spruce, which made dry lumber. Interspersed with other things, I have had several terms teaching in rural schools, which I have enjoyed very much. Having taught Carvale School, last year it was in session. Also taught Shearvale, North Rolla, Willow Valley, and Groundbridge. In 1954, we bought a house in Dawson Creek, where I still live, my husband having passed away in 1967. I have had several trips to the States and to where we used to live, but know this country is home to me now, and I'll always stay here.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson.
It's on March 29th, and it is with Mrs. Scobie, who came from Scotland. Now, Mrs. Scobie, when did you come in to the Peace Country?
When did I come in?
Yeah.
Well, I landed at... Would I have to start from the right beginning? I landed in Edmonton?
Yeah, you can start right from the beginning if you would. You know. Is that right when you came in? You said you came from Scotland and you came back to Edmonton. About what year?
Of course, I stayed in the ferries for 2 weeks, and then I come from there to Edmonton the last day of June.
In what year?
That would be 22. Then I met my husband there. We got married by the Reverend Dr. McQueen. That was on a Friday. We stayed the weekend. Then we started out to Peace River. We landed there on Monday. I think it was Monday. Yeah, either Monday or Tuesday. And at Spirit River. He had been here, of course. He had been in here at Paula, and he had things fixed up a little bit. And he came out, and he had his team and a wagon. So, of course, we got in the stores there on groceries. Then we started to left, let's see. It was on the Tuesday, I think. And we come in by team in the wagon to Rawa. That would be, we'd have, I think it was 2 days, 3 days, we landed at Rawa. The homestead. And then,
what was there at Rawa at this time?
Well, it was really in the biggest town. See, there's not very, very little here. One or two little Indian. What do you call them?
Indian.
TVs. Yeah. And Pushkupi, I think they had just the government building. An English church, I think. But Rolla had two hotels. And the school, and the store. I think it was Mr. Atkinson then was in the store.
Did you choose Rawa for any particular reason?
Well, I didn't. That was where my husband came and homestead and dwelt.
How much land did you have to start with?
A quarter, that'd be 150 acres.
And how
much? And then, he farmed his brother's quarters also, east of ours. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, I forget now, when he started to get some more land.
Was most of the land cleared, or what did it have
to do?
None of it?
Well, he had enough to prove up before he could get his back.
How was the land cleared? How did he clear it?
Just by him. And these were the days, now I'm telling you.
Right. Let me see, you cleared them by hand with an axe. But how long would it take you to clear, say, an acre or something like this?
Of course, he had many. It must have been, I think, was it 30 or 50 acres they had to clear before they got the back of the seat of the land? Well, that was on each quarter. It was along the side of the room. Then he started to cut some roadblocks north of the house, you see. Oh, I don't know. Of course, after we were in, a couple of years or so, we had to help him. If we could get a young fella, he would come and cut brush in. And then as soon as we got caught, they had to haul it up to Spirit River. That was 85 miles.
How did
they haul it in there? Just by a wagon. Okay. Generally, if everything went right, 5.5 days. 5.5 to 6 days. And you had to have a good team with them.
Was there sort of a trail from Rawa to Spear River? Direct along the
No, hill? They had to go down, east of town. Must have been 7 miles. Then they went down a big steep bank, down into the river. And you see, they had to wait till it was frozen. And across, there's a stopping house at this side, They crossed over and went off the other side. And they always went like two parties, or three. And they had to put a team on the other side, four buses, full of the slaves.
Do you remember any incidents that happened, you know, either tragic or such that you don't think would happen today in the same under the same circumstances?
No, I can't. There's only one that I think of that I ever heard them talk about. There was this was in the spring there, and the ice was beginning to go. And one team went across, and he made it. And there was another team coming when they sent somebody in horseback. And he was coming straight across to the other stopping house. And a big clump of ice came down, set the horse's feet. Horse went one way, and he went that. No? And of course, the one was on this side. They seen what happened. They run down because he'd always done their clothes on. And they called the horse. And the horse, they got him out. And finally they got the young fellow with him. Otherwise, if there hadn't been quite a bunch that time, it was traveling. Well, I don't know for the horse, but the young fellow would have been gone.
I imagine that was always risky business. You didn't necessarily know how thick the ice was and whatnot. Crossing a river with the horses on ice was almost as bad as a piece crossing on the Quakers crossing the ice.
Yeah. That was the only one I can remember. There may have been some. I can't think of.
Did your husband and yourself build your own house and whatnot out of logs?
Oh, yes. Like the first time to do that. And it's logs. And then quite a few years after that, we built a longer one. But the one that's on the homestead, my son, he has a lot of people to build a new one because it's water and everything.
What do you recall about the railroad? The fact that Rolla was once a big town and now Dawson Creek is and all is done?
Well, I think that was during the war. When I come in, then the railway just come to Spiritwood, Grand Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Grand Prairie to Height, it was there for a year or two. Then from Height up to Boston. During the war, we had to have some money for bringing them in. The men, you know, soldiers, and then one thing and another, and training. And I think that really, by
Dawson Creek. Rolla doesn't have any rail outlet now. Why, granted because of the soldiers and the war and whatnot, don't you think that the rail should have maybe gone to Rolla and leave Rolla as the main center?
Well, once upon a time, that was before, before they started from Grand Prairie to Height. They had the railway, the rail plate to come from Spirit River. Maybe you don't know, so this Saskatoon Creek, you know, they come down. Well, that was where the town was going to be in the early days. And the line was laid so far out from Spirit River to there. How they crossed the river down by Bladens, I don't know. But there must have been going to be a railway bridge there. And whatever happened, I can't remember. Like there had been a discussion somewhere. And when the line was lifted, they just proceeded to come from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But some even think, the old timers yet, even think that would be more central for them.
Spirit River was a big town. In fact, it's the geographic center of the piece, and it was really big when the railway came there. You know what sort of happened to it? Why it has sort of died?
I don't know. No, we've got no connection. Mm-hmm. Like to...
Do you remember the explosion that took place in 1942? When the dynamite went off?
Some things I can remember, and other things... You know, I'll be 85 in July.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. And you say that's 51 years or something then?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you come over in the first place? What had you heard about the peace project?
Well, my husband was out here 10 years before I came, and he came home. And we didn't know him just so well, but his two brothers landed between the blacksmiths and our little village home.
Do you have anything, do you feel that you regret the way your life was due to the hardships and the pioneer days and whatnot?
No.
You think
we just had a little shack to start with, but I don't know. I understand. Of course, in these days, the things weren't, to my idea, weren't so expensive. And you hadn't the show to put on like what they have to do now.
Do you think that the children today are rather fortunate, living the way they are?
They are, but I don't think they accept it, because...
You don't think they appreciate it?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the children then, they were more content, you know, with what their parents. They didn't growl about this, that, and the next thing. But they had to ask the women in the early days, you know. More so to my idea than what they well, they didn't have the money. See, that wasn't that 85 hours. Well, they didn't have, like, nice coats, these fur-lined coats and things like that, like what they have now. And they had to get out and walk, of course.
Where did you get your clothes?
Eden, because I think it was Eden, so we sent.
Most people in the area
yeah,
are ordered.
Yeah, they sent out.
Mm-hmm.
You got a catalog and they sent out.
How expensive were those?
Well, I wasn't here. So expensive as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we got lots of things sent from the old country. Especially all the kiddies from.
Well, I think that's something, anyway. Give a listen to some of that.
All right, it's back.